Christian Parenting. Aloha, friends. Welcome to the Monica Swanson Podcast, powered by Christian Parenting. I am Monica Swanson, mom to four boys, wife to Dr. Dave, podcast host, and author of Boy Mom and Raising Amazing. Here on the podcast, it is my goal to bring you practical advice and biblical wisdom for raising amazing kids and building strong families. You can always find show notes over at monicaswanson.com/podcast. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you'll be encouraged. Hey friends, with Mother's Day just around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift you might get your mom? I know every year I try to think of something unique, and I'm so excited to get to tell you about a really good idea. MyLifeInABook.com is a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send your mom a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice. And MyLifeInABook.com will compile all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook if you prefer, using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, her adventures, and the challenges she has overcome. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. Now, recently I was able to order MyLifeInABook.com for my mom, and I cannot wait to hear all of her stories. She has such great stories. I can't wait to see them all in a book form. So check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code MONICA at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. Again, that's MyLifeInABook.com and use code MONICA for 10% off today.
You know, disability history isn't taught in schools. There's no unit on disability typically at churches right now. And yet there are 3 million children in the United States who have disabilities. It is something like 20% of the population, maybe even as high as 30%, a high percentage of the United States population has disabilities. And we will interact with people with disabilities. It is a guarantee. And so that is where often I think about this topic of just saying, no, the expectation isn't that you know every single thing that's ever happened in disability history from the end of time on. But you could give it an hour this month. You could expose your kid, like you're saying, take them to a Special Olympics game, have them volunteer for a few hours at an elderly home where lots of people are in wheelchairs.
Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast. I just love hanging out with you every week. I sincerely mean that. I have a big smile on my face when I come on here to even record this intro. I just feel like I'm hanging out with all of you, so I hope you feel the same way. Now, you are just listening to a short clip from a guest I cannot wait to share with you, Laura Whiffler, who many of you already know from her amazing podcast, book, and all the things she does at Risen Motherhood. She is with me to talk about disabilities. So if you have a child with special needs, a disability of any sort, this is for you. But also, if you don't, this is especially for you, because I just think this is such an important topic for all of us to talk about so that we can be better friends, better neighbors, support one another. And I just think this is a topic I've been wanting to talk about for a long time. So I'm so thankful that Laura wrote a children's book called Like Me, A Story About Disability and Discovering God's Image in Every Person. It's such a great way to open up the conversation with all of our kids, and I just love this. So this was one of my favorite chats. I just think Laura is awesome. So I think you're going to enjoy this. And again, whether you feel like it relates to you or not, I think it does. So I hope you will also consider sharing this episode with your friends. This is, again, just a way to better support one another in our communities. Okay, before I jump into that, just want to thank you again for all the different ways that you support this podcast and my new book, Raising Amazing, which if you haven't read it yet, I hope you will. If you have read it, I'd love to invite you once again to leave a rating or review over on Amazon. And I'll have a link to that in the show notes. As I record, a couple weeks before this episode airs, there's 45 ratings and reviews, which isn't a ton, but what I love, they're all 5-star, which blows my mind and blesses me so much. I literally get teared up reading what people have written about it. And so that might tell you something. If you haven't read it yet, maybe that's a good sign that you would enjoy it. And I hope you do. Also, I want to make sure you don't miss any of the episodes coming up this summer. I know summer gets super busy, and I have so many great topics coming up here on the podcast. And the best way to make sure you don't miss anything is to, well, there's two things. First, you can just hit that little follow on your podcast app. Sometimes it's a plus sign or a download. It just is a way to make sure that every new episode just automatically goes to your podcast app. It used to be called subscribe, but it's not anymore. So follow. It changes too often. I can't keep up. But the other best way to keep up with all the things I do is to make sure you're on my email list. My email list is my favorite thing. It's really what I put a lot of my time into, is crafting emails to send out every Wednesday where I share a new podcast episode as well as any big news and also just some fun stuff. I try to find really good articles or TED Talks or a link to a new piece of clothing I love, but it's really kind of like how I get to hang out with all of you each week as if we were just having coffee or chatting across texting. So if you're not on my email list yet, I think you would enjoy being a part of that. And you can do so at monicaswanson.com/subscribe. Okay. There'll be a link to that in show notes as well, but that's kind of my favorite place to hang out, and I hope to serve you well over there. Okay. Now I just want to jump in and let you enjoy this conversation. So put on your tennis shoes, stick your earbuds in, whatever you do while you listen to podcasts. I think you're going to get a lot out of this. So without further ado, here is Laura Wiffler and I talking about disabilities and how we can be better friends, neighbors, and family members to those with disabilities. I hope you enjoy. Hey, Laura, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I am so excited to talk to you. I think probably many of my listeners already are familiar with you, but for those who don't know you and all the different things you do, can you just give us a quick intro?
Absolutely. Yes. So my name is Laura Wiffler. I live in Central Iowa with my husband and three kids. And I am the co-founder and executive director of Risen Motherhood, which is a ministry for moms. Our big hope is to just to help moms connect their faith to their everyday motherhood. It's really, really simple. We just want moms to know the hope of the gospel and how it applies to their everyday lives and why being a Christian is important to their motherhood, why it actually changes it. Mm-hmm. To that end, we have blogs and podcasts and social media and free resources and all that kind of good stuff, which the majority of my day is comprised with helping build those types of things out. I love mm-hmm. getting to do what I do. And then in my other kind of half of my work life, I am an author and a writer. So I produce books and write poetry online and share different things, especially through Instagram. It's my favorite spot to hang out. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's kind of a little peek into who I am and what I do.
Awesome. I love all that. And I'm curious to hear more about Risen Motherhood. But first, your kids, what are their ages?
Yes. Okay. So they are almost 10. I think it's like we're planning the birthday party. So it's a big deal, right? Almost 10, maybe next week or two. And then I have an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old.
Wow. And when did Risen Motherhood come into the scene? You were already a mom. How long has it been?
I had two kids at the time. I think I was soon to be pregnant with my third, and it was 2016. So quite a while ago. I feel like, you know, being on this side of things, I feel a little bit like, oh, I've been around the block a time or two. I'm like just realizing that the podcast is old and that means I'm old too, but
no.
See how long it's been around. So we've been a nonprofit since 2019. It was official. Mm-hmm. About 3 years or so, 3-4 years, we've been a nonprofit. Still feels like a baby. Mm-hmm. And then our board of directors often calls us still a toddler nonprofit. You know, we're still getting our legs, just learning how to walk and all those things, but pretty incredible. We just started out with a podcast and literally we're like, let's just air these conversations. It's my sister-in-law and I, and we're talking about, doesn't matter how we potty train. Doesn't matter if we feed organic. Does it matter if we cloth diaper? Like if it does matter, we want to know.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't matter, we want to have freedom and not feel all this guilt.
Like that's so good.
how it came about. And we just aired these conversations as we explored what the scriptures had to say. And honestly, it just resonated really quick with women. Mm-hmm. We were really surprised. That wasn't mm-hmm. the goal. It was really to just bless friends at the time that were also asking questions. But the Lord really grew it faster than we could have ever imagined.
Wow. And you said your sister-in-law, so how is she related?
So she is my brother's wife, my older brother.
Oh, yeah. So cool. And was she having kids about the same time as you? And so it just started that way?
That's right. She was on her fourth, though. She was a little further along. She has a set of twins in there, but she was either on her fourth or her fifth. She has five total kids now.
Wow.
It's vague to me how many kids each of us had at the time of starting.
But, right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. Do you also live near each other?
We do now. We started at the time where I was in Chicago and she was here in central Iowa. We moved to Iowa about 4 years ago. My husband mm-hmm. and I, we moved back to being our family and for him to have a little bit of a lifestyle change with his job. So now as the crow flies, we're like a mile away from each other.
It's pretty wow. Incredible.
Yeah.
So much fun. I love that. And you both have a child with a disability. Does your sister-in-law also? Is that right?
Does. Yeah, we both do. It's unrelated. There's been testing done. We can't necessarily figure out if there's a connection there or not. Mm-hmm. The geneticist told us it is lightning striking twice. Mm-hmm. And that is just the hand of God.
Right. Well, I think for anyone listening, most of us know somebody, at least somebody pretty close in our lives who are dealing with some variety of disability, delay, something. And so I just think this topic is super relevant. And today we get to talk about your new children's book. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Yes. It's called Like Me. And the subtitle, I think, always helps people understand what it is. A story about disability and discovering God's image in every person. I hope I got that right. I just did it from memory.
Yeah, good. I'm looking at it.
And really the heart of the book, it just follows these two brothers, an older brother and a younger brother. And the younger brother has significant disabilities that affect him globally. And it really just is told from the viewpoint of the older brother as he processes through what disability means in his life. And my hope is, of course, that it is this cozy, sweet read that you can cuddle up on the couch with your kids, because I really wanted it to just feel warm. And it's a story. Mm-hmm. It's not meant to be this didactic teaching tool that comes down, you know, really heavy. But I wanted to have truths dropped in by the older brother or the mom or a friend that shares just about the beauty of God's design around disability. And it naturally teaches children things about God and things about disability, and also exposes them to adaptive equipment or different behaviors and attitudes and ways of living and moving in the world. And so that was my hope, is that there's a family that maybe is going through a diagnosis, or they have a child with disabilities and they want to teach their other children or cousins or friends. Or maybe it's a family who they don't have a lot of experience with disabilities. For some reason right now, all their little kids are mostly at home and there's not a lot of exposure, or they're in a private school, or they are homeschooled. And so my hope was too, that this book could be a tool that could be one of many beautiful tools out there to help expose children to disabilities before there's like that first interaction.
Absolutely.
That sometimes, you know, go in an awkward way.
Definitely. Well, one of my phrases that I've talked about a lot, a friend taught me, was talk about things before they're things. And I think that, you know, kind of applies across the board in parenting. Like, let's prepare our kids for things they're going to face. But I love this book because I do think if your family that it doesn't have somebody close to you, you know, before you're in that awkward situation at the park, at the grocery store, at school, this is a great book to introduce the concepts and have those conversations at home in a safe place. So I love that so much.
Oh, good. Yeah. I'm happy to hear that.
It's also just beautiful. I love the illustrations. So, so sweet. Yeah.
Heather was incredible. She just brought, I told my publisher, I want like kind of folksy, whimsy, cozy book. And at first they were like a little hesitant about this winter book because it's not, you know, I guess if you do a summer illustration, it's sort of, you can read it year round, but if you do a winter illustration, people only tend to read them in the winter. And of course I had written this about our life in Iowa in the dead of winter. It was January when I wrote the manuscript. And of course there's like sledding and cocoa and all these wonderful things. And she did a great job just making it feel like this cozy winter. And I'm like, well, I would read this any time out of the year, but you know.
Yes. Well, I'm in Hawaii and we love it. So you're good.
Yes, for making studies.
Absolutely. In fact, we kind of are drawn to those wintry books because we crave like a cozy winter, you know. We get about a month a year where we really need to wear like socks in the house because we don't have a heater because it's not cold enough. But sometimes when we need to like put on a sweatshirt, we're like, ooh, so cozy. Definitely. Okay. So can you tell us a little bit about your journey and, you know, what this is your third child who has a disability, right? Can you kind of tell us how that played out and what you, maybe your first response, were you prepared? Had you had some experience in your background with disabilities?
Yeah, this is a great question. So, you know, growing up, as I look back and I couldn't have pinpointed this until more recently, but as I look back, disability was always in my life. I always had someone around me or a few people around me that had disabilities. I went to a public school here actually nearby, and I see that pattern. I see God preparing me, even though at the time, I'm not sure that I could have recognized it. But my daughter was definitely the first person who was like incredibly close to me, obviously my own daughter. She was diagnosed at 2 months old with rare chromosome disease, and rare chromo is a blanket term for people who have a genetic abnormality, and oftentimes they're totally unique and rare. And for her, as far as doctors know, she's the only one in the world with what she has. And I know. So that meant there wasn't any roadmap. You know, when she was born, the doctor said, well, hey, we don't know for sure for her, but we can look at people who are similar and we'll take this cross section of people. And these are our predictions for her. Okay. And I received this 5-page of, you know, essentially all of the things that she could have.
Wow.
Missing kidneys or liver disease or all sorts of things. And then you are sent on a journey of doing all of these quick checks to kind of say, does she have this or does she not? So we met with literally almost every kind of doctor there is, because we did a holistic scan. And I'm so grateful for that. You know, it was overwhelming, it was hard, but also early intervention is so huge and so helpful for a child's success. So there's a lot of good things that came out of it. But all that is to say, they even had said to us, hey, she may never walk and she may never talk, because a lot of kids who are similar as they grow into adulthood, that's the case for them. So that was what we were mostly prepared for as parents. We really felt like, okay, we need to kind of get behind that and, you know, get there and accept that. But God has been really kind, and our daughter does walk. She used a walker and braces, just like the little boy in the book. She doesn't use those anymore, which is a huge answer to prayer. And she is learning how to talk and communicate. And you may not always understand her. Others may not always understand her, but I usually do. And she's getting better and better every day. So it's been really, really, really amazing to see her grow. So yeah, that's a little bit, I think, of our journey. And
Tell me about the older siblings. How old were they when she was born? And what was that process like?
That's good. Man, I want to say they were like, they're 20 months apart. So 2 and 3, or maybe 3 and 4. She's a little bit, a few years behind them, but they're all kind of stacked in there. So they were young. At the time, honestly, I don't think they had any idea of what was going on, but it's been really interesting to watch them process. So I now have, as we talked about, a nephew with significant disabilities. My husband has a cousin with significant disabilities who's an adult. We have quite a few people in our life that I can think of that are regularly in our lives with particularly cognitive delays, intellectual disabilities. And it's interesting to watch my children because they're around it all the time, right? And we go to therapy and they see adaptive equipment, but still, you know, still there's moments where they're like, why'd they do that? Or what is that? Or they ask questions that I think every kid's asking. Like, I remember when my daughter asked, hey, mom, is disabilities, is that contagious? Can I get it? You know, and like, this was a normal question for a kid. It's just a curious question. It wasn't meant to be mean. But it's been interesting to watch them process and see how, while they have a lot of exposures, they're still, consistently maybe just needing reminders or encouragement. Training on this topic, and that just because you see a wheelchair once doesn't necessarily mean like, oh yeah, and now I understand.
Exactly. Totally. Yes, yes. No, like you, I grew up in a public school in Washington State. And I remember just really being drawn. They had a great special ed program there. And they had this one building that was where they mostly met. You know, they were throughout the school. But I would spend a lot of my lunch hours and recesses in that building. And I think part of it was they had really fun adaptive like toys and things, yes, like balls, yes, you could roll on. And so one of my friends and I would go over there and play with the kids. And so I really grew up just enjoying and appreciating and being really comfortable around kids with different disabilities. But now that I homeschool my kids, that's an area where I could see that, you know, they aren't daily exposed to, you know, anybody who's dealing with something different. But as I told you before we recorded, and many of my listeners know, I have a nephew with Duchenne muscular dystrophy. And that's kind of unique in that he started off more typical. And then as he has grown older, he's now 20 years old. And so he went from walking as a little one to then using, using, you know, leg braces. And then eventually he is in a wheelchair. But I just feel like my boys have been so blessed by the time they've spent with him, because they have learned to slow down and to help and to understand what it would be like to, you know, he's at a point now where holding a spoon or a fork, it's too heavy. So he has to use plastic serveware. And so it's kind of like they're watching this almost go in like a backward, you know, it's getting harder and harder. But wow, it's just been a beautiful process to see their little hearts kind of soften. And as they were younger, the questions were there, but now they've really grown, I feel like, to just have an extra sensitivity and compassion towards kids with special needs and disabilities. So I love that.
Absolutely. I hear from so many parents who have adult children now who would say, oh, the Lord used that so distinctly in my child's life. And I see it in my kids. You know, there is a saying we have in our home where we say, my life for yours. And it's just a moment to say, Christ gave his life for me. Now I can give up my life for you. And, you know, we use that when the kids are like, well, you know, they're arguing about something and it's just like, hey, somebody's got to lay down their life here, you know, or somebody needs help and another person's reading a book and it's kind of, you know, kind of annoying to get up off the couch out of your coat spot, but yeah, my life for yours. I want to serve you. And I have seen them, I think, grow in that much more quickly than I have. And the Lord is still working on this in my heart, I will be honest, but it's been incredible to just see them and the way that they really are so kind and sacrificial at such a young age. Not perfect, of course, they're still humans and sinners, but that has been a really sweet thing to see, because more often than not, they're giving up their life for her. And we do talk a lot like, hey, she goes to your games. She goes, you know, she participate in these things, or she's not able to do everything that you get to do. So in many ways, she is giving her life for yours and she's spending your time. And so we try to show how it goes both ways. But of course, there is a level of responsibility on them, I think, where they see their peers and they're like, well, they're not having to hold their sister's hand, who's, you know, same age, and they're not having to like interpret for their sister. They're not. And so I see that on my kids, but also in general, God has been so kind, I think, to keep their hearts soft as they learn, I think, a lesson we all have to learn, but they're learning it at a very young age. So it's a gift.
Yeah. Well, I do think it's a gift. And I think it's one that probably we can't expect our kids to understand in the moment when they're young. But really, you look at, you know, the families I know who have typical children and then a child with a disability, and I just see so much character in those other kids. I'm like, this is one of the greatest gifts you can give to your kids, is to have to care for somebody, to have that in your life. And, you know, it's unfortunate they can't necessarily appreciate it in the moment, but it is such a gift. Hey guys, hope you're enjoying this conversation. And I want to pause real quick to tell you about a great resource available through Christian Parenting that will make teaching faith at home this summer simple, engaging, and fun. And don't we all want to do that? Yes. Okay, so this resource is called Love God and Love Others, and it's a 4-week family challenge to help you teach your kids the greatest commandment of all time, to love God and love others. So each week you're going to focus on loving God with different aspects of who you are, and it includes a few pages on a portion of the Great Commandment to equip you for the week ahead, scriptures and points of truth for your family to reflect on together, and fun challenges to try it with your family. This resource is an amazing opportunity for your family to grow closer to each other and to God as you learn about His steadfast love for you and you learn to love Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So to find out more about this and get your copy, head over to cpgive.org. That's CP as in Christian parenting, cpgive.org. I know this will be super practical and helpful this summer as you want to make the most of all of your time together. All right, friends, hope you enjoy that. And now we'll get back to today's show. So we have some good friends here in Hawaii who have a child who was born with spina bifida and just a lot of complications with that. And he's just at an age now where he's starting to realize he can't use his legs. So from the waist down, about he's paralyzed. And I think they're really struggling just because he's at that age now where he is becoming more aware of the fact that he's not able to jump up and do the things that other kids are doing. Have you dealt with some of that with your daughter, or is because she doesn't communicate as much? Like, I'm curious if you have any advice or wisdom for those out there who maybe have a child who's younger and they're helping them look around themselves and see. And have you walked through some of that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, I have so much compassion on just parenting through that. It's got to be just very, very hard. I will be honest and say, you know, my daughter has intellectual disabilities and right now where she's at, she doesn't know that she's different. We don't really hide that she has a disability from her. It's not like we don't talk about it, but we also are not like, you have a disability. You are different. You know, or anything like that.
Yeah.
So she doesn't have an awareness, a social awareness yet. But what I would encourage any parent, because, you know, this is like a parent's just, you never want your child to be bullied. You never want your child to feel other or different. And I do think about this a lot, but just that importance of teaching them where their identity is found and where their value is found. And, you know, just thinking through the Imago Dei and, you know, just meaning the image of God, but what a foundational truth that is for all of our kids.
All of them.
Yeah, that's right. And whether they have a disability or not, every child is going to go through a season where they are not included. They are not the top of their game. They are not the one, you know, they're going to feel shunned by friends. They're going to feel out of sorts. They're going to feel other, but there is so much truth to the reality that it is okay to feel other as a Christian and it is okay to feel different. And the Bible promise that we're all going to be accepted and understood. I think children with disabilities, especially those that are cognitively capable, but maybe have a physical difference and they feel that coming out. I think for those children and just any other child, maybe they're a star sports player, maybe they're incredible at the arts and music, but when those things fail them, that they have a very clear theology of the Imago Dei, that they are made in the image of God. That's what gives them dignity. That's what gives them value, that is steadfast. It never changes. It doesn't waver. They can win all the trophies in the world and it is not more or less. And that for all of our kids, I think is something that as parents, we have to train them in. And then let's say you do have a child that does not have disabilities. Operating from a place of knowing their dignity and worth then allows them to do what we talked about earlier, which is my life for yours. It says, I'm secure in Christ. I know who I am. I know that God made me and that I'm not doing this to earn His favor and I'm not doing it and I'm not avoiding this stuff because I'm afraid or anything. Like, instead, they can operate from this place of being securely loved and they can go out and they can move towards someone who is lesser than them. And they can say, hey, I see that you have differences than me. I see that life might even be a little bit more harder for you, but I want to go and I want to use whatever power I have, whatever. And I mean power in the sense of like socioeconomic status, race, ability, talents, popularity, all those. That's what I mean by power. And that's what I mean by less is saying, oh, someone maybe doesn't have as much social power, who doesn't maybe have as much abilities, that kind of thing. I want to clarify that just in case.
Sure. Totally.
But with that, when your identity is rooted in Christ, then I think you can go forward and operate out of this place of total love and total acceptance and offer that to other people. But until we get there, we're constantly going to be kind of having these roving eyes and looking over our shoulders and saying, hey, I don't know, like maybe there's somebody better to spend time with. Hey, maybe there's, you know, somebody else who can take me a little bit further or make me more popular, make me feel better. And that's not the call of the gospel. That's not the realities of what God has called us to. That's not what Christ did for us. You know, he came to us when we had nothing to offer him and said, I choose you. Yes. You are who I want. You are who I love. I will die on this cross for you. And I am going to give everything and die a torturous death because I love you. Mm-hmm. You have nothing to give me. And that's what we can model. We don't want to cheapen the gospel. We want to honor the gospel with our lives. So I got kind of preachy there, but that's
love it. No, that is so good. And again, anyone who reads what I write and listens knows that like our kids' identity is something I just keep coming back to over and over and over. And part of the message, I mean, I love this topic so much. And that's why I think I was so excited to talk to you because I often think that again, there's such a gift and it's hard to see sometimes because it's kind of wrapped maybe in this disability or in other challenges. You know, I talk a lot about adversity and a chapter of my book, Raising Amazing, is about how adversity is a fuel for greatness. And those kids who don't have much adversity are actually missing out on a real opportunity to grow. But, you know, my 19-year-old is a professional surfer and he's had to wrestle with his identity because when he does well, it's so easy to put his hope and his confidence in his abilities. But then the next contest might be a loss and then he could be crushed. And so for him, it's just been about digging in daily to remind himself that who I am is not dependent on my, you know, how well I do, my performance, my popularity, my success or failure. It is all about what God has to say about me. And then, like you said, then you're free. Then you're free to do the things you do, to love the people, to be just, it is so beautiful. And again, there's just such a, I think sometimes the kids who have it the easiest, really, there's going to be a deeper struggle that they're going to have to come to terms with. And so these are just such great conversations for us to have with our kids, right?
Oh, totally. And I have found too, that just that adversity piece, you know, I mean, I know we can't like force adversity on our kids and we shouldn't. God doesn't ask us to like, be like, let's try for suffering, you know, but this reality, I think that we can all look back and say that our hardships and our suffering is really what transformed us into being more like Christ. You know, like I don't often look back and be like, yeah, you know, that time when I was honored with that award, like I felt really Christ-like. I felt really close to God. Like, I mean, that can happen. I of course, but in general, when I say like, oh, you know, I feel like the Lord really grew me in that season. Was seasons of hardship and seasons of suffering. And I think so often we have our goals mixed up, right? We think the goal in this life is to become the best that we can, to make the most money that we can, to be as happy as we can. And we may not want to articulate that, but like deep down, that's what we're going for. It's like, I want to have a cush life and I want kids that love me, kids that come home for Christmas and then I can take them on trips. You know, that's, those are the things that we're going for. But when we remind ourselves of the gospel truth that no, this life is all about becoming more and more like Christ to be prepared for heaven, for the day that I meet my Savior and my knee hits the ground. That transforms how you spend your time. And you may experience great successes, but you are sobered by the realities that they pale in comparison to what awaits you in eternity. You know, the shores of glory are going to be so much better than anything we can accomplish here. And I think it puts a lot of perspective on our rising and our falling in all of the areas of life to just say, hey, I just want to remain steady in stewarding whatever the Lord has for me, to have open hands that says, I receive what you have, Lord, because my goal isn't to collect here and to make sure that, you know, I'm carrying my big backpack into heaven. No, it's to remember I don't get a backpack for heaven and that I just want to be more like you. Just do whatever you will, Lord.
That is so good. So, so good. And two different thoughts. I want to go two different directions with this. And I know I'll let you go eventually, but I could chat about this stuff all day. But one thing I was thinking on this topic again of adversity and how, well, what do we do for those kids who might have a really healthy, comfortable life? You know, I suggest in my book that we do need to create, so give them some opportunities to face challenges, you know, push them, nudge them out there. But also I'm thinking, perhaps there's some things we can do intentionally as parents to expose our kids to more situations, whether it's bring them somewhere where maybe they can get to know some kids with disabilities. Maybe it's going on a mission trip to see people who are less fortunate. I know that I've always loved the elderly. So when I was a kid, I would often go visit nursing homes and just spend time with the elderly. Just that was my heart. And I've brought my kids because of that too. Because I'm like, I don't want them to be uncomfortable, you know, with if they're around, if their grandparents get older and have some, you know, challenges. Yeah. I want them to be comfortable around this stuff. So I think exposing kids to Absolutely. Other people is maybe something that takes intentionality, but is a worthwhile endeavor. So
yes. Yeah. I mean, first of all, let me say, you sound like the most awesome kid, like hanging out with kids with disabilities, going to see the elderly, like, please let me raise kids like you.
I don't know. I was, yeah.
But I think you're totally right that there is an element that, you know, for me, I'm like, man, I have been so blessed by getting to know people who have disabilities. Mm-hmm. I've been so incredibly blessed and I want that mm-hmm. for everyone. And I have to remind myself, like, something that I am passionate about is people not being passionate about everything, right? Like, we do not mm-hmm. have capacity
yes.
to be like, I'm going to care about this issue and that issue and this mm-hmm. issue, and I'm going to be an expert. And I think, you know, the past few years, that felt required of many of
yes.
us, right?
Yes.
We knew the ins and out of everything. We had a soundbite. We had a hot yeah. take on every single mm-hmm. thing. And I think many of us learned that is impossible. And I'm grateful to see some changes in that, where the expectations are a little more realistic for what a human mind and body is capable of. So I am passionate about people not having to feel pressure to be this mm-hmm. on disabilities yes. or something.
Yes.
But on the other hand, there is a very real reality that most of us, and I would have put myself in this category prior to having a daughter with disabilities, know pretty much nothing to zero about disabilities, right? Mm-hmm. I think about my daughter and I'm like, okay, she spends about 7 hours a day learning how to conform to the world around her, mm-hmm. learning how to modify her behavior, her actions, her thoughts, her eating, her speech in a way that makes other people feel comfortable. And it makes them feel like, oh, you are like me and acceptable. And you make me feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. 7 hours a day. That's what she spends. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That she can come home and kind of be herself. And I think about how many people have spent even 1 hour learning about the disabled community, even 1 hour. Mm-hmm. You know, disability history isn't taught in schools. There's mm-hmm. no unit on disability typically at churches right now. Mm-hmm. And yet there are 3 million children in the United States who have disabilities. It is something like 20% of the population, maybe even as high as 30%. I don't have my stats in front of me. A high percentage of the United States population has disabilities, mm-hmm. and we will interact with people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. It is a guarantee. Mm-hmm. And so that is where often I think about this topic of just saying, no, the expectation isn't that you know every single thing that's ever happened in disability history from the end of time on.
Right.
But you could give it an hour this month. Mm-hmm. You could expose your kid, like you're saying, take them to a Special Olympics game, mm-hmm. have them volunteer for a few hours at an elderly home where lots of people are in wheelchairs. Mm-hmm. Have them volunteer with a neighbor kid. I know I've been immensely blessed by some of my neighbors saying to their older children, hey, I'm going to have you spend a half an hour every week just hanging out with Eden, with my daughter.
Yes.
And it is a gift to me to feel like there is a responsible, you know, 12-year-old spending time with my daughter. It's a gift to her, because very rarely does a child say to her, hey, what do you want to do? And just give them all of her attention. And I think it is a gift to that older child to learn how to interact with someone who does behave differently. But it takes a parent's initiative to say, hey, this is what you're going to do. You're going to move towards that person. Mm-hmm. But then, like you were in high school and, you know, and like the ways that you're doing it now with your children, like that's how we raise the next generation to become around disabilities.
Yes.
Parents, we start that.
Yes. Oh, that's so good. And I have to just give a shout out to my dad, because I think it was my dad every day when he left for work, my dad's just known for his phrases that like have lived forever and he continues to use to this day. But every day he would say, hey, if you get a chance today, help somebody. Get a chance today, help somebody. That was just his little phrase as he left for work. And so I think all, you know, from as young of an age as I can remember, I would be thinking, because I thought later I want to tell Dad who I helped today. So I really do believe before even like my actual spiritual growth began to develop, it was Dad's voice just saying, help somebody. And that's so much the heart of God. But no, I just appreciate that so much. And I guess before we close now, I'm just feeling like I want to speak a little bit more to those who are listening who do have kids with any kind of a special need or disability and maybe are earlier on in their journey. If somebody's not sending their kid over to hang out, do you have any advice? Like, what do you recommend? Should they ask for help from friends? How can they communicate maybe their need or desire? Give us some tips from your perspective.
I know disabilities can feel very isolating, and it can feel, you know, I think back to the fact that, quote, no one else in the world was the same as my daughter. Like, it wasn't like, oh, there's a Down syndrome spectrum or an autism spectrum. And even then, the path is very unknown and broad and very difficult. So I understand that feeling. And I think my encouragement to anybody who's feeling alone in their journey would be, yes, to not be afraid to ask. You know, I think a lot of times I have been surprised by how many people, they have a desire, but they don't know how, and they're afraid. And I hate that. I hate that reality in our world that so many people are like, oh, I've been wanting to help, but I've been afraid to ask. I didn't want to offend you, or I didn't want to hurt you. And so, you know, even just saying like, hey, I just had an idea. Like, you know, if any of your kiddos want to spend time with mine this summer, I would absolutely love to train them on, you know, a little bit of how to interact. Because I do think sometimes it just takes the courage to make the ask. And then a mom or dad is like, oh yeah, we want our kids to have that experience. Also, I think that, you know, I do a lot of work on my Instagram, and there are other people who do incredible work, people who have disabilities themselves, and, you know, going and following those people and then sharing that kind of stuff. If you feel like you're not quite sure how to phrase it, let somebody else say it for you is always a great thing to do.
Okay. So speak to those of us who are just afraid we're going to say the wrong words. Can we really, I mean, should we be so afraid, or like, or should we just say something?
I mean, saying something is better than saying nothing at all. I will be super honest, you know, and I know the fear, and I have so much compassion for that too. Of just, again, like, it wasn't that long ago where I felt very new to this world, and I felt like, oh, I'm kind of uncomfortable, and I get that. But I would push gently back on that with a word to just say, but this isn't about you and your comfort. And if we can go forward, and I like to give families just like three little lines that you can say to your friend who has a child with disabilities. You can say something along the lines of, hey, well, okay. So if, let me back up a tiny bit, because I want to say too, that if you are closer friends with them, you know, I think there's an element of like, if you don't know them very well, it's okay to not feel like you know every intricacy of their disability. But if you're trying to get to know a mom and you are spending time with them and you are good friends, I mean, saying something like, hey, what are you guys working on in therapy right now? That's a great way to open the door with a mom friend and allowing her to kind of say, hey, here's some hard things, here are some good things. And they can also kind of just be like, oh, you know, just the usual. And if it's too hard to talk about then. Another thing that you can say is, hey, how can I make our time together successful? That's a great way to open up the door. And they can say, you know, meeting at that park is really hard for me because my child might run away. I really need an enclosed space. Or, you know, that kind of having, I know for my daughter, like, everybody having the same thing makes my life a little bit easier. But when somebody brings out like a whole bunch of choices and variety, sometimes things just get really hard, and it can feel, for me, like, oh man, you know, and, but my friends can't know that unless I do that. And so as long as they know it, I can say, hey, like, yeah, just having consistency in the food, and she can't eat these things. So maybe not serving those things, because then she will have a tantrum, you know, that kind of thing. And then lastly, always asking a mom and just saying, hey, how can I pray for you today? How are you feeling about disabilities today? And that allows you to pinpoint the moment, just like any grief. You know, it's very hard to sum up, but if you ask right now, how are you doing? That, I think, helps the mom be able to say, you know, today's a hard day. It's it's a milestone. It's the first day of school. It's the day she got diagnosed, you know, maybe it's something like that. Or, hey, today we're having a good day. You know, it's where I'm doing great. And I feel good about it. It allows her to have options in how she speaks. So those are kind of three or four things that I think you can say to a mom, that opens the door in a gentle way. And also, I think, helps give you confidence in being able to talk about stuff.
Totally. I love that so much. And just a few minutes ago when you were talking and I was wanting to go different directions, I did want to circle back as we close to just the topic of eternity. I love that you mentioned that. And I had the opportunity to spend some time with my nephew, Micah, who has muscular dystrophy just last fall. And I loved talking to him about that and just reminding him that, you know, this life is so short. Like, really? There will be a day where this wheelchair is no longer needed, and where and it was like his eyes kind of lit up as he was kind of imagining, wow, one day I will be free and I will have, you know, all the ability that other kids have to run and play and do the things that they do. And so I think too, just a good reminder for parents who are going through this, maybe a newer diagnosis, is just what we do on this earth matters a lot, but it is going to be, and you know, I've been reminded of this talking to elderly and talking about elderly and just like eternity is a long time. And so there's so much more to look forward to. So I just love that you touched on that and think it's something important for the parents going through this to remember.
Yeah. You know, that has been such a truth for me to cling to. And there's no other religion in the world that says, hey, in heaven, you're going to get a renewed body. That God is going to make you new. I mean, that is like a beautiful truth that is unique to Christianity that promises us full healing. And I am so thankful that the Bible speaks to disability, doesn't shy away from it, even as it is a hard topic. And also that it offers that hope for us. And like you said, I mean, 60, 70, 80 years is a really short time when you can compare it to eternity. And I think too, there's an element that I think as a parent gives me hope, which is that idea of like the first shall be last. And I often think, Lord, what do you have for my daughter in heaven? Yeah. You know, what do you have for her now? I'm so excited to discover what he has for her today here on earth. But also like, and what could the possibilities be? Because she is in a category that people would say that is the least, you know, people who have significant disabilities. That is a hard path. And I think harder for some than others, and acceptance is harder for some than others. But the reality that just seeing how Jesus moved towards people in the gospels, I mean, he had a radar for people with disabilities. Yeah. He went straight to them and he healed so many, but he didn't heal everyone. You know, he didn't heal everyone first on the planet at that time. And so we know that sometimes our healing for our children is not until heaven. But we also know that God has a great plan and that his heart is for the disabled and his heart is tender towards them. And I, you know, I don't necessarily have like this great biblical basis for it, but I really believe that there is going to be some really unique and beautiful things for people who suffer through disabilities here on earth. And that perhaps the world will be turned upside down in heaven, upside down kingdom, where, you know, our kids are the ones teaching us deep truths of the gospel, they are some of the leaders in the ways that God mandates out his care in the new earth. So I don't know. It's fun to think about, and you know, we can't know for sure, but we can know that God's good, that he's kind and he has a great plan for us. And that, you know, this isn't, disabilities is not a, it's not a death blow. It's not end of the road for us. It is not a one-way ticket to a bad life. In fact, it's a, if you let it, a one-way ticket to a life full of joy and beauty and becoming more like Jesus. And that's what we want.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. I think there's probably a lot of people who needed to hear those words, and they were beautiful. So thank you so much. All right. Well, then before we close, I have a feeling you won't have any trouble sharing something amazing currently in your life. Is there some way that God has shown you a pleasant surprise or something that's caused you wonder?
I love this question. I love how you're defining amazing. And I think that's just such a fun thing to reflect on. And, you know, I was thinking about this a little bit, and maybe this is, I don't think you're going to say it's silly, but I feel kind of silly saying it, which is, I think something that I've found wonder in lately is just in writing poetry. It's kind of a new discovery for me. I kind of have gone through all the phases as a writer, from testing out memoir, nonfiction, fiction, kids' books, adult books, all the things. But about a year and a half ago, I started writing poetry. And it actually happened because I homeschooled my kids for a year during the COVID year. And we were reading poetry just on assignment. And I got to tell you, I was like, wait, this is poetry? Poetry can be this beautiful. I can understand it. Like, you know, I had all these revelations. Yeah. And it was funny because then I started writing and really allowing my emotions to come through my writing. And I have really discovered, I often think of poetry as discovery and figuring out what I really believe, what I really think, where God's hand is at. And so it has been a huge gift, I think, to me to discover not just a new form of writing, but like a new way of learning about the Lord. And it's been very sweet.
Oh, I love that. I love that. My college, my young adult sons love writing and reading poetry. And so I love, is there a certain type of poetry you write? I know there's like all these categories, but yeah, I always feel like that can hold me back if I'm trying to follow the rules. Or do you just like free flow poetry?
I do not follow rules.
Okay.
Good. Yeah. I think it's just called modern poetry.
There we go. I love it. I want to try doing more of that. I'm like, my boys have inspired me. So yes. Well, we'll definitely be linking to your Instagram feed and your podcast, all the things that you've done. But if someone wants to just jump on and follow you now, where can they find you?
Sure. Yeah. I'm at Laura Wiffler on Instagram and Facebook. And then of course, laurawiffler.com. That's where you can find pretty much the hub of all of my work and books and links to Risen Motherhood and all sorts of things like that.
So great. Well, thank you so much. I just appreciate your time and your story and your heart. And so just thank you for all the encouragement today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been really fun.
Okay. Aloha. Hey friends, I hope you enjoyed that episode, and I really do pray that it encouraged and blessed you, and I would love again for you to share it with your friends. And you can do that on social media really easily by just taking a screenshot right here of the podcast and sharing it to an Instagram story or to Facebook. If you do so, please do tag me on Instagram. I'm at @MonicaSwanson_, and I'd love to share those as well. So links to all the things we talked about and some notes over at monicaswanson.com/podcast. This specific episode will be also found at monicaswanson.com/Laura-Wiffler, W-I-F-L-E-R. All right, guys, I love hearing from you. If you have a topic request or an interview request, you can always send that to me in an email. You can also just say hi. I love to get your emails. You can do that at aloha@monicaswanson.com. Okay, God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your week. And until next time, aloha.